Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk, and oh, we're just 17 days away from college baseball's opening day. LSU baseball will be in action shortly to help us talk about the Tigers getting ready for hopefully a run to Omaha. Koki Riley, LSU baseball and football writer for the Times-Picayune and The Advocate. Koki, how you been doing, man?
Doing pretty well. How's it going?
Doing great. We didn't get really too much into LSU baseball media days, which happened right before the divisional round, the conference championship, sorry, in the NFL. We were kind of wrapped up all in that. But just curious, your initial takeaways from what Jay Johnson had to say during that big session, getting ready for another big season for this Tiger squad.
Yeah, I think with that press conference and really all the preseason stuff in general, I think like I probably have one main takeaway from each side of the ball. On the pitching side, it looks like they've stretched out eight guys for this upcoming season. Among them, Case Nevins and William Schmidt, the two freshmen, Anthony Ianson, Kate Anderson, Chase Shores, Gavin Guidry, just to name a few. There's kind of eight guys that are kind of vying for a potential starting rotation spot. Obviously, there's only three of them, so it'll be interesting to see how that sort of shakes out as we go through these next couple of weekends before the season starts. And then on the offensive side, and on the other side of the ball, you're looking at Stephen Milo moving from second base to some position on the left side. My guess is it's going to be shortstop, but they've rotated him and Braswell at short third quite a bit through those first four scrimmages. So it's going to be interesting to see how both those two things sort of shake out. And yeah.
Real quick, Koki, before we get into the pitching, because I want to do a deep dive on some of these guys. So Stephen Milam potentially moving to shortstop, that would have Daniel Dickinson playing at second base?
Yeah, okay. I think Dickinson's going to be the second baseman. I would be pretty surprised if that doesn't turn out to what it's going to be.
And then with Braswell potentially playing at third. So that's kind of the infield questions shaped up. You know, it's one of the things that we were talking about a couple of months back when we were looking at all the transfers that Jay Johnson brought into this program, how the infield would actually look come February. But that's really interesting. You know, at first base, Jared Jones, I think not getting picked in the draft and coming back to school was kind of a surprise for a lot of people. But now he enters the year as one of the best players in the entire SEC. And when you look at, you know, a lot of the preseason polls from whether it be D1 or Perfect Game or Baseball America, they all have LSU in the top three. And I think their offense is going to be great, but kind of headlined by Jared Jones returning for his upcoming junior campaign.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And they're going to need his power in the lineup. They don't have a ton of obvious, you know, 20-plus home run guys on this team. Luis Hernandez did hit 23 last year at Indiana State. How is he going to translate to the SEC? That's still a bit of a question. So, and really outside of him, they don't really have a ton of other big, powerful bats in the order. Maybe Dalton Beck can become that guy. He has a decent amount of power. Kader and BD, the freshman. Blaise Priesters hit the ball as hard as anybody. So I guess they have like some potential candidates there, some guys who can hit the ball out of the ballpark, but that's why Jared Jones is so critical for this team because, I mean, outside of him, they really don't have anyone else you can pencil in for 20-plus homers.
For you, how big do you think the addition is of Chris Martin, the former Houston Astros, now the new LSU baseball strength and conditioning coach?
Yeah, I think they like the just the energy and the youth that he injects into this staff as a whole. I think he's under 30 years old. He's a guy who obviously has World Series experience, won a World Series title with the Astros, kind of brings that professional level of treatment when it comes to strength and conditioning for this team. And that's been a position that's been rotating for them quite a bit over these last few years. And now they can hopefully have some security with Chris Martin, given that he's the younger guy, you know, given that he's coming from professional baseball, unless another professional baseball team takes him away, I can't really see him leaving, for another college job. So, I think it was like it was a much needed addition. And it was a big point of emphasis to get that position right for Jay Johnson this offseason.
And then the pitching staff, Koki, let's do a deep dive on it, because I think the weekend rotation, every single year we do this, right, where we talk about the different options for who's going to be the Friday night guy, who's going to be the Saturday guy. It ends up being different by like the end of the year anyway, so it doesn't really matter that much. But at the same time, it is interesting to talk about, because they do have a lot of candidates to take over that Friday night gig where, you know, we're talking about February 14th, the opening day, who's going to be on the mound for LSU. It's like a big deal. And, you know, the first one I want to bring up is Chase Shores, who, you know, suffered Tommy John surgery, missed all of last season. But when he was a freshman back in 2023, he did start as a weekend rotation piece. And, you know, the 6'8" talented right-handed pitcher, I'm interested to see what his role is going to be early on. I know that I think we talked with you about this, Koki. If not, it was one of the D1 baseball guys, where he was really close to returning last season if they just made a little bit deeper in the postseason run. But this is a guy that enters the year with very high expectations. I know that Jay talked about him, said, quote, his arm looks great. He's really throwing strikes, really like where the mindset is at, end quote, as well. So Chase Shores, the first one I wanted to throw at you, Koki, and what you've seen from him so far.
Yeah, in the scrimmages, it still seems like he's trying to figure some stuff out, whether it's with his command or whether it's with his just having better feel for his off-speed stuff, whether it's, you know, refining that slider or whatnot. And he's coming off of Tommy John surgery, and the fact that he hasn't really pitched that much, like, that's the thing. He's just got to get more innings. He's got to get more comfortable with his body and just pitching a mound against real live hitters. So that's going to be the key for him. So I'm really curious to see, like, what he looks like towards the end of this preseason, what he looks like at the very beginning of this year, because I think they're going to start the year with him as a starter, because I don't really see the use of having him kind of come out of the bullpen. He doesn't know when he's going to come into the game. He doesn't know how long he's going to warm up for and all that sort of stuff. Like, even if, you know what I mean? So, like, I just feel like he's going to be a starter to at least start the season. And if he plays up to his potential, as we've already seen 2 years ago, and can even exceed that, I mean, he can be one of the best pitchers in the country. Like, there's no stopping him from being that good. Like, we've seen him off to 100 miles an hour with a really good changeup. So I'm really curious to see what his season looks like this year. But I think for now, I think it's safe to say that he's probably going to be in the rotation in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I agree, Koki. And then looking at another talented pitcher that I'm really excited to see in the purple and gold, his first time in the purple and gold. When we were talking about Daniel Dickinson, he was kind of a coveted offensive player, skill position player that they went and scooped up in the portal. But as far as a talented pitcher that they got, among the talented pitchers that they got, UC San Diego's Anthony Ianson, who, you know, played for the collegiate national team, Team USA, someone that was very highly coveted. Jay Johnson goes and gets him. Another guy that could project as a weekend rotation starter right off the bat for this squad. I'm really excited to see what he does as well.
Yeah, I think Ianson's definitely has a really good shot at making this rotation. I'm not 100% sure about that, just because, like you said, they have a lot of different options. And Connor Ware is a guy who I think people need to sort of get used to hearing his name. He's not as heralded. He wasn't as heralded of an addition because he came from the junior college ranks. But in the few innings he had pitched in junior college, he was absolutely dominant. And I think if he was healthier last year, he'd be in Major League Baseball right now. But, you know, I think the injuries, it made sense for him to try his luck in the SEC for a season before he goes off to professional baseball. But he's a lefty, has pretty good, really good command, fastball, right, 92 to 94. And he's just a guy who could provide quite a bit of stability in that rotation. And Jay Johnson said again that he was the best pitcher they had in the fall. And I think he's a guy who could definitely start for this team week one. We'll see. But he's a very serious candidate. Him and Ianson and maybe a couple others are fighting for that third spot, I think, because I'd be pretty surprised if Kate Anderson doesn't make the rotation, given how sharp he's looked in the preseason and whatnot, and the fact that, you know, this is another guy who I would be surprised if he doesn't go off the professional baseball after this year, because he'll have a very if everything goes to plan, at least, like, he's got that sort of potential to be a top two round pick in the draft.
You mentioned Kate Anderson there. I think I saw something where he's been working on refining his slider this offseason.
Yeah. He last year he did sort of like come up with a slider in thin air, out of thin air a little bit. But this year he's really tried to hone it, and it's a different type of slider now. So this year he's going to be throwing much more of a gyro slider. That's what he says. The gyro slider has that really tight spin, and it kind of dips, kind of falls off the table, like more like a changeup. He's going to have that pitch to go along with his curveball, which is already a plus pitch, and his fastball. And he just had really good command from what I saw in the fall, especially. And I'm just very optimistic about his season. And obviously he's now 2 years removed from Tommy John surgery, so he's got all that sort of stuff out of the way. He's got a year of SEC experience underneath his belt. He got better as the season went along last year after a bit of a slump in the middle of the year. So I'm very confident in him not just being the rotation, but being one of the better pitchers this season.
And then one of those names that may not be in the rotation early on, but it's one obviously to keep an eye on, William Schmidt, the freshman, the former Catholic High product that decided to stay in Baton Rouge. He was like a top 20 prospect in last year's MLB draft, but he took his name out of the draft and decided to go to college, which was definitely a surprise. I think he's one of the highest ranked recruits to ever make it to campus at LSU. It's definitely an exciting young player for this squad that, you know, Jay Johnson said it himself, that we'll see him sooner rather than later.
Yeah, he might be the most talented just in terms of where he was projected to go in the draft. It's like him, Kim Johnson, Dylan Cruz, and maybe one or two others. But I think he's a guy who could have, there's a world where he could have been the first right-handed pitcher from out of high school ranks drafted. Like, he was that talented. Fastball, like, in right up to the upper 90s. He probably had the best curveball in high school baseball last year. And he's a guy who I'm very excited to see what he looks like this season. And I think the changeup's going to be really key for him in order to survive in the SEC, because he's got a fastball that obviously has a ton of velocity, but there's not a ton of movement to it. So since he lives high in the zone with that fastball, there's a chance he could give up a few homers if he's not careful with it. And I think if you add that, I think if he really develops that changeup and, hones in that, and that curveball is already a plus pitch. Like, if he can really be a dangerous three pitch pitcher to go along with that velocity, I think he could be really good right out of the chute. But, I'm glad that they're not throwing him into a starting role right away. I'd be surprised if he's in the starting rotation, by the time we get the SEC play at least. But to have a weapon like him in potential multi-inning role, it's just an incredible luxury for the staff to have.
We know that the SEC is the gauntlet that to go through every single season. Just curious, early on, for you, who are the biggest, I guess, trouble spots, teams that could cause the biggest amount of noise in the SEC this year besides LSU?
Yeah, I think Texas A&M is probably the team to watch, not just in the SEC, but in the entire country. LSU has to travel there towards the second half of the season. I mean, they bring back pretty much everybody except for Brady Montgomery. New coaching staff, first-time head coach there now after the whole Jim Schlossnagel debacle. But Jace Laviolette's probably the best player in the country. And they're just absolutely, that team's just absolutely loaded. They should probably be the front runners in terms of winning the national championship this year, just on paper. We'll see what their rotation looks like. They brought back a few guys. So they're the team to watch out for sure. And then outside of that, the usual suspects, right? Like, Arkansas is going to have a great pitching staff again. Tennessee is rebuilding, in terms of just like they're not bringing back a whole bunch from what they had last year. But at the same time, they were pretty aggressive in the transfer portal, added a couple of really good players from Ole Miss, and we're going to see what they look like. And the SEC, it's the SEC, it's going to be really competitive. Like Texas is going to be interesting. LSU plays them. And LSU just played Tennessee, by the way. They come here about midway through conference play. So it's a really interesting schedule, and the SEC is just, it's just going to be another great year in the conference. There's no reason not to think it's not the best conference in college baseball once again.
Koki, always enjoy hearing from you. Appreciate the time, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Koki.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
That's Koki Riley, LSU baseball and football writer for the Times-Picayune and The Advocate. And boy, oh boy, baseball can't. I know the Super Bowl is right around the corner, and we shouldn't be so excited about baseball season, but man, oh man, with the team that LSU has this year, it definitely seems like it could be another special season for this Tiger squad.
So the interesting thing for LSU is that when they actually start SEC play, they started at home against Missouri. Okay. That's a pretty easy beginning. But then you go to Texas. Jim Schlossnagel's new bunch is going to be interesting. You host Mississippi State. You go to Oklahoma, who's now new to the SEC. You go to Auburn. I should have mentioned that obviously Texas is also new to the SEC. You host Alabama. You host Tennessee. You go to Texas A&M, which is going to be a crazy series in early May. Then you host Arkansas, which back-to-back weekends, that's pretty impressive. And then you go to South Carolina. So the SEC slate, as you mentioned, Steve, it's going to be a gauntlet for this LSU team, but they're so talented once again. And Jay Johnson's just loaded this roster up for another run at Omaha, so we can't wait for it.